Well, hey, welcome to Hope Church. Welcome, Hope at Home. Just so great to be together today. And thank you, worship team, for that great worship today. It was so good. And I mean, what's so good is just worshiping God, right? I'm not, you know, highlighting any person on a stage. It's just the presence of God is what we worshiped, is what we asked for today. And we need His presence, don't we? Need His presence in our lives. And I'm just so thankful. It was really, really a blessing. So, hey, I don't know if you know, if you're aware of this, but what a great day we had in Bentonville yesterday. Anyone know what went down? They held the annual Bentonville Half Marathon. Yeah. And I think, like, at least, I know that at least five ladies from Hope Church ran in it. So come on, good job, ladies. Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys did. I'm not sure. I don't know. But if you're here today and you ran in that, just give us a holler. Just be like, oh, come on. I see some. Some of us aren't hollering. They ran in it. Oh, you hollered? Okay, you hollered. All right. Good job, ladies. I'm so proud of you. Now, as for me, I watched from the finish line. Yeah, like, you don't give any praise for that. That's like, no praise for that. Maybe next year. Maybe next year I'll be ready to do that. My wife did it, though. She was one of them. She inspires me. She's awesome. But you know what? I want to just talk about that for just a minute this morning. What a fascinating place to be on a Saturday morning. And if you've never gone out, it's just fun to be there and just watch. And, you know, as you arrive, you begin to hear everyone cheering for everyone across the finish line. It's just a beautiful thing to hear and to see. And, you know, even though I was there to yell and scream for my wife, you know, I got caught up in watching all these people come across the finish line. And that's what happens. You know, and the people, like, they're almost barely making it across, some of them, and you find yourself like watching them and feeling for them, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, bro, you did it, and you're just cheering. You don't even know these people. You're just cheering for them. You're so happy for them. It's so much fun. You know, there was one guy, I remember, he was running to the end, and he stopped literally like 20 feet from the line. He was right there. And he just could not go on anymore. I thought he was going to pass out. And I watched him, and he just barely shimmied across the finish line. He's grabbing the rails. Oh, man, what hard work. And another guy I saw, like, he came across the line like this, you know. He's, like, limping across the line. I just felt for these guys. A lot of people came across that line in a lot of different conditions. It's true, huh? You're all laughing, and some of you are like, you're about dead, huh? Yeah. Good job, though. Wow. So proud of you guys. Here's one of the most beautiful things about the whole thing is that there were people who had already finished the race. You know, they went fast, they did it, and they stayed back to encourage other people who hadn't finished the race. Isn't that just an awesome thing? They didn't have to stick around. But a lot of people did. And they were just there cheering each other on. And I just think about that. And I think, you know, in a similar way, we are all in a race, right? We're in the race of life. We're in a race to glorify God with our lives, to make it to the end. And in Hebrews, it says that we are surrounded by a great, this great cloud of witnesses. And what it's talking about is those people that have gone before us and have already finished the race. And they're in heaven, and the idea is that they're cheering us on. They're there, and they're just saying, go! Yeah, bro! You know, you can do it. And it's so encouraging. And so Hebrews teaches us, hey, keep running the race and run with perseverance. This race that has been marked out for us. And then it says, you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. to get to the end. You know why that is? Because he's at the finish line. You got to fix your eyes on him. And you make it to him, and you're there. You're there. Well, at the end of the race, there's one thing everybody wanted. Right? No matter how they crossed the finish line, you know, they might have been smiling and jumping across the line and shouting, or they might have needed a medic. I mean, seriously, that one guy, like, he got a medic after that. Everybody was looking for one thing. They needed recovery. Everybody needed to recover in some way. And so the end of the race is kind of dedicated. You know, there's awards and stuff, but it's dedicated to the recovery of the runners. And, you know, it's just a really important part of the race. You know, there's food there. There's medics there. There's water there. There's protein drinks, right? Everything you need to just replenish and recover. And today, you know, we're going to continue on in Psalm 23. This is the series we're in. And we're in verse 2 today, but we learned in verse 1 2 weeks ago. Last week we had a guest speaker, but 2 weeks ago when we started, we learned that the Lord is the true shepherd who takes care of all of our needs. But today, we learned about how he takes care of those needs. And it's found in this next verse in Psalm 23, verse 2. It says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And when I see that, I see two things in that verse. There are things he makes me do, and there are things he leads me to. There's a problem, though, in our society, right? You may have recognized this out there. There's this prevailing attitude that says, no one can make me do anything. Right? Is that true? Don't tell me what to do. You can't make me. I'm fine just leading myself. So I really find David's words interesting when he says, he makes me. And so many times, you know, in our culture, there's this automatic sort of resistance that it rises up in us when we are made to do anything. It just rises up. You know, as King David wrote this verse, he's in a palace, and he's reflecting back on his younger days when he was a shepherd before all this, and he remembers one of the most important aspects of shepherding, one of the most important things of the whole process, that he often had to lead his flock to a good place, and he had to make them rest. He had to make them do it. Why? Because they wouldn't do it on their own. They wouldn't do it on their own. We'll get to that in a minute. But the landscape in David's time, you know, it could often be scarce of rainfall, and it could be dry, and grass wasn't always in great abundance everywhere. And so in that case, the shepherd would have to lead their flocks to places where there was enough grass and there was enough water. And so, you know, knowing where that was and knowing the best route to take and knowing the pace at which he should go with his sheep to get them all there in one piece and to make it safely, this was all in the hands of the shepherd. And so the journey could be long, it could be dangerous, and there's certainly some difficult terrain to cross sometimes. And so when they arrived at the place, like David describes here in verse 2, it was the best thing that could ever be. It was the best thing you could ever hope for. It was an oasis, but not just a place to eat and to drink. It was a place for rest and a place for total recovery from a long run. Okay, why don't the sheep just lie down and sleep when they need to? Why don't they just do that? I don't know. Why don't my kids do that? I wish they would. Here's the trouble with sheep. Sheep have the problem of resisting rest. This is their problem. You know, they're just like my kids at home at bedtime. A lot of you have kids, right? Little kids. Or you remember when you had little kids? Right? Bedtime. You know how it goes? Their eyes are like, you know, practically closed. They're so tired. And yet they're like promising you, right? Dad, I can stay up later. I know I can do it, right? Just let me stay awake a little longer, and I promise I'll get up for school and jump out of bed right away and do my homework. Yeah, right. You're like, no. No, you won't. Right. Please don't make me go to bed. Don't make me do it. No, you have to go to bed. And I know that if they would just go to bed and just shut their eyes, right? Boom, lights out. In 2 minutes, they're out. This happens. This happens a lot. And it's just crazy. It's almost always the case that they will sleep pretty quickly unless they're too distracted by one another. That's the only thing. They're distracted, you know, and rallying each other up. That's what happens when you have three boys at home. Well, look, I'm no sheep rancher, right? I don't have a lot of experience with sheep. But in my studies of Psalm 23, I ran across a book by W. Philip Keller. It's a book I've mentioned before here at this church, but it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Fantastic book. I encourage you to pick it up and read it. Keller was actually a sheep rancher at one time. One thing he observed as a rancher was this. He said, sheep fight sleep. Sheep fight sleep. Why do they fight sleep? Well, sheep are skittish, right? They panic about every little thing, and then they tend to overreact when things happen. Lots of overreaction. You know, maybe a little dog, and they stampede off. You know, they think it's like a lion or something like that. That's how they are. And then beside their own restlessness, they also, you know, kick each other, push each other, and, you know, they keep each other in this state of unrest. This goes on in my house every night. It's crazy. And, you know, other than that, there was plenty of other factors impeding sheep sleep. That's hard to say. I had to practice that. Sheep sleep. They can be easily stolen by thieves in the night. They can be picked off by wild animals, right? Sheep are pretty much a defenseless animal, and they just need help. They need help. So for Keller, as a rancher, there were lots of things to be worried about with his sheep. And there was really only one solution. And that was to stay with the sheep. And so he would spend many nights out under the stars with his sheep and a rifle, all right, nearby. And see, that's the nature of being a good shepherd. You are with your sheep. You're always with your sheep. And only when he was with them would they be able to actually get the rest that they so desperately needed. So what David is saying to us here in verse 2 of Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. This is about finding peace. Finding peace from all that life surrounds us with. And if you're here a couple of weeks ago when we did verse 1, you know, this is the answer to what Pastor Jim was talking about when he mentioned, you know, that our lives, sometimes we're living in this ocean of stress and worry And as we run through life at sometimes a crazy pace, right? Peace is found in one thing. And that's in the presence of God, the presence of the shepherd. That's why it's so good to sing about it this morning. We need your presence in our lives. And so if you know anything about David, if you read about him, if you study his life, you're going to find out that there were times when he was just stressed out beyond himself. There were times when he was surrounded by his enemies. There were times when he was being hunted. There were times where there were attempts on his life, and there were attempts to overthrow his whole kingdom. But at some point, David looked back at this time, his childhood, in his life, and he thought, I can always find peace as long as I am with the shepherd, as long as I'm in the presence of the shepherd. You know, David learned probably the most valuable lesson of his entire life when he was just a kid. He learned that the Lord was his shepherd and could make him lie down. And what that means is he knew he was in God's hands no matter what. Well, how does this really affect us today? How does this affect you and me today? You know, sheep can easily get distracted by a lot of things, right? We have a lot of distractions in our lives. And so what they wander off into these other pastures, looking for peace, looking for food, looking for water, just wandering. And so can we. We can do that in the busyness of life. It's just easy to do. It's easy to get disconnected from the shepherd. And it's easy to resist the work that he wants to do in our lives. Some of that work involves recovery. You know, from the long journey, from the long week, from things you've been through, from relationship things, all of that stuff. You know, God wants to work in your life. He wants to help you recover from that. And, you know, in verse 1, we find out that we have what we need, but even still, a lot of times we know we have what we need, but we still find ourselves overwhelmed with exhaustion, you know, and we're fatigued all the time. And so let's read from Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29. Here's what it says. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Isn't that good? It's recovery. It's rest. It's refreshing. That's what Jesus wants for you. If the good shepherd is going to make me do things and lead me to things, then I need to stay by his side. Then I need to stay in his care. I can't walk away from that. I got to stay there. Amen? Amen. All right. I want to say this morning that, you know, God is ready. God is ready to give you peace. He's ready to help you. He's ready to help you find the peace you're looking for. But you got to be ready to do three things. Okay, and the first thing is this. Number one, surrender to his lordship and leadership in your life. You got to surrender to that. Stop fighting against the Lord. Stop resisting what he wants to do and embrace him as the Lord of your life. Right? This is the good shepherd that puts his life on the line for you. The good shepherd that died for you. And he just wants to be your shepherd. And so we've got to let him. We've got to let him lead us to good places. Places of rest, places of recovery, places of nourishment. I remember back at the half marathon, you know, they have all these gates up so the spectators can't, you know, run across the road towards the end of the race. And then that it's like this cattle chute, right? And it just the racers just come in and it just leads them right around the corner, leads them right into this tent. You know, they get the medal, they get the water, they get the protein shakes, and then they go around this way, and then they go to the pizza tent. Like, here's some food, right? And it's just like, sometimes I think, man, I wish God, when I woke up sometimes, there's like this cattle chute on the side of my bed. And I'm like bumping into it. And he just leads me that way right into his presence. Thank you, Lord. Because I was going to go that way and I was going to do that. And I probably would have done that, right? That would be great. That would be great. Well, we have to make that decision. We have to surrender. We have to surrender some things so that we can be nourished by him. All right, second thing. We need to identify green pastures and quiet waters. What are those things, right? There is way too much going on in our lives. Amen? Anybody have too much going on in your life? I do. I do. Something needs to be surrendered. That's our big problem. In our churches, in our culture, right? We don't need more to do. We need less to do. Which means we got to surrender something. I can't do all these things. I'm going to do the most important things, though. Right? And the Bible teaches us that we can gain the entire world, and yet we can really neglect our souls. Right? That's important. Look, good is all that stuff. And so green pastures are not the things we want all the time. They're the things we need. They're the things we need. And they're not found in anything that doesn't last. Amen? Amen. All right, third thing. All right, first thing, surrender to his lordship and leadership, right? Second thing, identify green pastures and quiet waters. And the third thing is this, rest and be refreshed. And I just ask you, you know, as you go today, think about this thought, this question. What are some places you find refreshing? What is that? Where is your mind renewed throughout the week? How does that happen? What good things does God use to revitalize you? You know, maybe running is actually one of them. And nope, not for Pastor Zach. He's out. He's out. It could be good for some. I have run before. I know. I started to believe. But, you know, and when I've done it, it's been really nice to pray. Just be out with God. Or maybe it's fishing or whatever it is. You're just out there with the Lord. I'm really refreshed when I'm in the Word of God. I mean, it's probably my number one way that I experience recovery and refreshing is being in the Word of God. That is not a joke. I'm not saying that just because that's the thing a pastor says. No. It's so good to get into that habit. Or maybe with my family. My family really refreshes me. Maybe being with a community of believers, that can be really refreshing. You know, I've been meeting with some men for 4 years now, or right here in the lobby at Men's Life Journal. Every single time we meet, it's so refreshing. It's just like sometimes you come and you go, I can't even make it. I don't know if I can. But every time, it's like someone has something good to say from the Word, and it's really refreshing. I love listening to worship music. Man, that refreshes my soul big time. One more story on that. You know, last Monday, you know, I take Mondays off, right? Sunday's kind of a long day, get here early, do this stuff. So I have Mondays off. Last Monday I had the day off, and I didn't make any plans for myself. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But here's what happened. You know, I ended up building a fire pit in the backyard. So when I build stuff, it's like refreshing for me. It's not like a burden. I like to put stuff together. So I built this fire pit in the backyard, and that night, last Monday night, my family and I, we sat under the stars, and we roasted some hot dogs and some marshmallows. And as we sat there, you know, there was some time where it got real quiet, and I literally, we remember that we could hear the crackling of the fire. Isn't that a nice thought? Oh, I didn't hear anything else. This, you know, this crackling of the fire. And I'm like, man, this is wonderful. This is a good time. This is like the good life. Like I found it for a brief moment, you know. Instead of cut some other stuff out and just do that. And we found a greener pasture that night. Away from the busyness. Away from all that. And we engaged in some recovery. And it was good. It's what the good shepherd wants for you. And I can't wait to do that again. So good. So good. All right. I want to invite the worship team to start heading back up. And I have some final thoughts as they're coming up. Here's some final thoughts. When we trust God, we begin to learn that He gives us what's necessary. Right? And good. Sometimes He makes us do things. For example, you know, God originally commanded the Israelites, keep the Sabbath. Right? He gave them a Sabbath. And this meant like honoring God, but also meant resting from work. And He gave it to them so they could be refreshed. It was for them. And I love how He Himself modeled it, right? He creation took 6 days, and then He took a rest. He modeled it for us. And that's good. We need to learn to come to Him. Right? Because we're satisfied with His care. And because we want the presence of God with us, we need the Good Shepherd. It's an acknowledgement when we come to Jesus that I don't always know what's best for me, right? I don't always know what I need, but He does. He does. And if we don't learn to yield to the Good Shepherd in this way and find the green pastures, then what we'll do is we'll yield to our own desires and we'll head off in some other direction and into some other pasture. And that's the deception, right? That's what Satan wants. You can't make me God. You can't make me do this. Our enemy would love to try to make us shepherd ourselves and go our own way. And then we become vulnerable. We don't want to do that. We're going to sing one more song. Let me just pray. Lord, You are our shepherd. You're the good shepherd. And we pray, God, that You would lead us. God, that we would learn to let You lead us. We know that what You make us do is for our good. God, give us the recovery that we need. I know there's many of us out there who just, we need your presence and we want something and we're praying for it. God, I pray that your will would be done and you would give each one of us this morning what we need. You would fill us with your Holy Spirit. You would help us to recover from the long road that we've been on. Only you sustain us, Lord, and only you satisfy us.